I'm Brian Scordato, and this is the Idea to Start a Podcast, a podcast that's been called, quote, easily 10 times more useful than my MBA, which probably says more about higher education than our pod, but it was a nice review. We're going to start sending the pod along with some deeper content each week. So if you're a power listener of Idea to Startup, head to gettacklebox.beehive.com or the link in the show notes. Beehive is spelled a bit wildly, so it's gettacklebox.beehive.com. On to it. Today, we're going to help you get luckier as an entrepreneur. I have to specify as an entrepreneur, as the original script said, today we're going to help you get lucky, but when I tossed it into ChatGPT to proofread, it strongly suggested I add as an entrepreneur to make sure no one thought this was, quote, relationship advice. It appears ChatGPT has found out about 1990s slang and thought I was bugging, as if. Anyway, today we'll be helping you get lucky in a totally non-sexual, entirely entrepreneurial way. The good thing about helping you get luckier is that while it seems totally different than if I said I'd help you get fitter or healthier or better at content marketing, it's not. Luck is as tangible as all of those things. You've heard people talk about how important luck is for entrepreneurs, and you've probably thought, well, I hope that happens to me. And I won't blame you for that reaction. Let me channel my inner high school class president giving a graduation speech for a second so that we can acknowledge how people are taught to think about luck. Webster's Dictionary defines luck as success or failure brought by chance rather than one's own actions. Chance, not actions. But for entrepreneurs, that's not what luck is at all. So even using the word luck is misguiding. Luck is tangible. We can optimize for it, plan for it, and nearly guarantee it to some degree. Luck is maybe 90% action, 10% chance when you do it right. Create the 90-10 scenario a bunch of times, and you're going to get, quote, lucky. Practically, I think about luck as an amplifier, an exponent that sits outside the parentheses that hold what you do each day. That exponent isn't guaranteed and is variable in size. It can dramatically amplify your work, or sometimes do nothing to it. But it'll definitely do nothing to it if you don't strategize for it. So today, we'll help you optimize for luck. We'll sort out luck gatekeepers, luck hooks, luck routines, and we'll build out your luck budget. And we'll start by visualizing luck, making it tangible. And the best way to do that is to take an event that seems lucky and work backwards to pinpoint what was actually lucky about it, to figure out what luck actually is. So lean back in your office chair and pretend to work on an Excel doc when your boss walks by, and let me tell you a story about young Brian getting lucky. Not like that, ChatGPT, you freak, in the entrepreneurial way. And to do that, we'll hop in a mini time machine and go all the way back to 2012. To set the scene, a quick Google tells me that the biggest things that happened in 2012 included a government shutdown, a total solar eclipse in parts of Australia, and the act of filibustering becoming, quote, very popular. Riveting stuff. Aside from all of that intrigue, I was working on 3Degrees, the business that preceded Find Your Lobster, my Facebook-driven dating app. The general idea for 3Degrees was that the job market stunk and lots of people were unemployed. I'd just left business school and a lot of my classmates hadn't gotten the jobs they'd been promised when applying to business school because those jobs no longer existed. And the students looking for them were getting a bit frantic. To find opportunities, they scoured their friends' Facebook and LinkedIn accounts to try and piece together some sort of connection to a possibly vacant job, like detectives trying to solve a murder on one of those giant cork boards with all the red string. I got countless emails that said something like, quote, hey, you went to high school with Jeremy, who went to college with Erica, who now works at Deloitte, and I think they have a role on their tech strategy team. Could you ask Jeremy to intro me to Erica? So I built 3Degrees, which synced up Facebook and LinkedIn and public job boards to make this sort of expert-level snooping easier. For those scoring at home, this solved both a teleporter and a hole problem, the two best types of problems for entrepreneurs to solve. A hole problem in that the customer was literally at the bottom of a well. Absolutely nothing mattered until they got a job. They were open to try anything. And it solved a teleporter problem in that their current process required them to spend hours searching for connections and writing emails. We removed that step entirely for them. Our bus picked them up before the connection searching and dropped them off after it. The bones of the idea were sound. But to get it going, we needed enough concentrated users to get the network effects churning. I figured the best way was press, which felt like some combo of luck and a PR agent, so I hired one. This person took a shocking percentage of my funding to do a shockingly small amount of work. She emailed the pitch I'd put together to hundreds of her contacts at various tech places, wrote a few articles on PR Newswire, which sounds fancy until you realize anyone can post there, and at the end of our engagement, after zero articles from journalists and about 25 total page views from the PR Newswire stuff, she sent me an email asking for final payment and saying that, unfortunately, we didn't get, quote, lucky. I told a friend of mine this story who introduced me to one of their friends, a journalist at a tech outlet. She said she got hundreds of those annoying PR pitches every day and had set up a filter in her email to automatically delete them all. She hadn't looked at one in years. Awesome. So how do I get an article written about the business? I asked. Easy, she said. Make it harder for a journalist to not write the story than to write it. This seemed a little Yoda-y, but she continued. Forget about pitching 1,000 outlets, she said. What are the 10 that, if you were featured, would make a serious impact? We're talking thousands of the right new users. It was tempting to pick tech places that wrote about startups, but MBAs didn't really read those. So we found the stuff MBAs did read and made a list. Now, she said, find the last 10 posts in those outlets on new startups. I did some digging and found that this type of feature was very rare. Actually, only 2 of the outlets had written about new startups anytime recently, and it was in a monthly article that had a roundup of a number of startups they'd, quote, noticed doing something unique. Okay, my new friend said, so when the author is writing those stories, what do you think they're hoping to get from them? I remember nodding because it was a smart question, but apparently it wasn't rhetorical. She went on. Dig into the past articles and figure it out. What are the titles of those articles? What's in the first paragraph? When the author posted the story to social media, what was their caption? Did the post get traction? Was the article successful? She paused and asked me another non-rhetorical question. What do you think a successful article looks like? I didn't know. Well, you certainly can't pitch someone an idea if you don't know what them being successful with that idea would look like, right? The answer, she said, was reach. An article is written because the author thinks a lot of people will read it and share it. She then listed out why readers share an article, which is the biggest indicator of that article's reach. I still remember them because I wrote them down right after and saved them. Here they are in order. First, if they're controversial, which wouldn't have been useful for me, but the next 3 would. Next, if they're counterintuitive to public opinion, meaning everyone always thought X, but X is not actually true, people share that. Next, if they're helpful. People share generic, broadly helpful things on social channels, and they share specific helpful things directly to the person who'd benefit. And finally, if they create emotion. So, she said, if we convince an author that the article you're suggesting is a no-brainer for a few of those reasons people share, they'll believe it can spread, and they are more likely to write it. Great. Now, there's one more variable, she said. How hard it is to actually write. That is the friction that exists and keeps them from helping you, and we need to remove that. She said the best way to do that was by pitching the idea in a way that it was already 90% written for the person publishing the article. So we wrote emails to the 2 outlets that wrote about new startups. We included 3 potential titles for those articles, highlighting something counterintuitive first, which was, quote, this startup believes you've already got a warm intro to your dream job, you just need to use it. Then we highlighted something specifically helpful, quote, if you've got a friend looking for a job, this startup will help them get a foot in the door. And finally, something emotional, quote, your friends and family want to help you get a job, this startup lets them. We then drafted out the 3 questions that would anchor the article. These were based on the sharing archetype too. We even suggested a few other startups that could be featured alongside us in case the article became one with a hiring theme. Turning our email into a post that got traction was, in the words of my new friend, unbelievably simple. The traditional view of luck is, man, it would sure be lucky if a writer at the right publication somehow noticed my company, decided to write something about it, and lots of people read that thing and shared it. But the real view of luck understands what luck is. It's when someone who can help you grow decides to. If you find the friction for that moment and you eliminate it and create enormous thrust for that person to help, you dramatically increase the chance that the lucky thing happens. 2 weeks later, one of the two people we wrote to ran an article with the exact headline we'd suggested. The body of the article was the three questions we'd written. The answers were the ones we drafted, barely edited. And a few of the other startups we suggested to feature were featured. It was easier to write the article than not to write it. We got hundreds of downloads day one and over 1,000 within the week. I remember a friend who was also working on a startup texting me when the article came out. "Dude, you are so lucky they found you." Sure, sorta. Luck has a formula, and we'll jump deeper into it today with luck gatekeepers, hooks, and finally your luck budget, the counterintuitive way to spend your time and money on luck. And we'll do it all after a quick word from our new friends at Accelerate Dev. As you know, I'm picky about our pod's advertisers. That is why I'm excited to introduce Accelerate Dev, spelled XLR, the number 8, dev.com. They solve a massive problem for our non-technical listeners, getting the first version of your product out on time and on budget before you raise funds or hire a CTO. What separates Accelerate is that on time and on budget piece. This might sound like table stakes, but bloated scope and budget is nearly always the reason outsourced projects fail. First-time founders just aren't equipped to manage a technical product. Having Accelerate founder Jaden and the rest of the team focused on strategy, making sure every dollar and ounce of effort is focused on getting a useful product out fast, is a game changer. You'll have a partner who's built dozens of products on time and on budget, actively coaching you. Contact Jaden, J-A-D-E-N, at XLR, the number 8, dev.com. Mention Idea to Startup for our special listener deal on building your first product. Time to get something up and out. Back to it. The five types of luck and your luck story. Press is a pretty obvious type of luck. That's why I used it for the example. It's easy to see how thinking critically about press could give you a better shot at getting it. The trickier part of luck is figuring out what it is you're actually looking for. What does luck look like? If I ask you what's the luckiest thing that could happen for your startup right now, what would you say? I've found the best way to wrap your arms around luck is to start writing stories. It's a trick from our old friend Graham Weaver. I'll pop his talk in the show notes, and if you haven't watched it yet, do it. You take 20 minutes or so, and you write out, long form, what wild success looks like for you. You describe that success in detail. It could be customers, revenue, team, funding. Don't worry about how any of this is going to happen. Just describe it. Then, when you're done, read back through it and identify where you're going to need some big jumps. If you say that you want to have a vibrant community alongside your product, you'll need at least one big jump, an extraordinary community builder and manager as a new hire. You'd be lucky to find one. There are five types of luck that usually emerge from these stories, and we can build strategies to target each. Here they are. First, serendipity luck. Right place at the right time. You can't force these, but you can stack the odds by constantly being where your luck gatekeepers hang out. We'll talk more about luck gatekeepers in a second. Number two, preparation luck. The elevator pitch moment, when you do find yourself at the right place at the right time, having a message so clear and compelling, or something else tangible that you give or do, that people can't help but understand it, remember it, and pass it on. Number three, network luck. When your network introduces you to someone key. This isn't about knowing everyone, it's about making sure your existing network knows exactly how they can help you, because they're going to want to. Number four, creation luck. You build the stage that attracts the right people. You host a conference, you start a podcast, you write the perfect article template. Help your luck gatekeepers be successful. Number five, persistence luck. Show up consistently where your people are until you become part of the furniture. When they need what you offer, you'll be the obvious choice. Each type of luck takes a different strategy, but they all share one thing. They turn getting lucky from hoping to engineering. As I wrote these out, memories from my work and our founders came flooding back to me. Let me show you how this works. A few years ago, one of our founders built a date planning service for new parents after discovering a wild stat. Happiness in the marriage drops something like 70% immediately after having kids. This stat is a perfect foundation for a business. It's counterintuitive, it's sort of taboo, and it's the kind of insight that spreads the second people hear it. To get initial traction, she combined serendipity luck and preparation luck. Every weekend, she went to Central Park, and she would hand out postcards to all the parents that she saw hanging out with their kids. The cards led with that 70% stat in huge font, followed by a simple promise, quote, "We plan and book your dates, you show up, and get your happy marriage back." After weeks of chatting with dozens of couples every weekend, she happened to give a card to a momfluencer, and yes, that's a word, Dad, with 800,000 followers on Instagram. The person posted about it, and our founder got 250 paying customers that day. For a business built on trusted word of mouth, this was the perfect customer seeding. I shared that post on LinkedIn, and a friend commented, quote, "She was so lucky that she happened to hand a card to that person." Sure, lucky. Luck gatekeepers. I mentioned luck gatekeepers briefly in the previous section, and I want to expand on it now. Every business, every book, every cafe, every student applying to college, every person trying to do anything interesting should have a list of the 10 or 20 people who could have outsized impact, the gatekeepers of their luck. If Guy Raz from How I Built This said on his podcast, "Hey, you all should be listening to Idea to Startup if you're actively working on an idea," we'd likely get tens of thousands of new subscribers and advertisers would flock and my business would change. If Malcolm Gladwell listened to the pod and gave me feedback or decided it was good enough to be under his umbrella at Pushkin, the business changes. There are another 15 to 20 people like this that could dramatically amplify the past 10 years of Tacklebox and 5 years of Idea to Startup if they chose to, if I helped them choose to. So I should be working towards that constantly because there's no other way to get that type of jump. I should be both figuring out who the people are because they aren't always obvious and spending time trying to get in front of those people and help them help me. To get lucky, you need to know who the luck gatekeepers are, which brings us to your routines and your budget. Luck routines and luck budget. The problem with luck is a human one. We're terrible at prioritizing it. Humans dramatically underestimate upside and they overestimate downside. We think if a feedback loop isn't clear and obvious, it's unlikely to make a positive impact and guaranteed to make a negative one. We spend our days answering emails and making small product fixes, stuff with clear, immediate outcomes, but low ceilings. Necessary work, sure, but it won't ever lead to anything extraordinary. The opportunities, the quote, lucky stuff, that is where uncapped upside lives. But because most attempts don't work immediately, we deprioritize them. That press pitch might have a 10% chance of success, which means you might spend hours on 5 that fail, but the 6th one might hit, and it would create more value than 100 hours of incremental work ever could. So the question is, how do you make luck systematic? Two ways. First, the luck budget. Create a luck portfolio with 15% of your resources, your time, and your money dedicated to high upside opportunities. These are your 10% probability plays that could 10x your business if they work. Think of it like your own little venture capital fund. Most aren't going to hit, but you only need one to transform everything, and you probably won't transform anything unless one hits. And second, the luck routine. Every Sunday, ask yourself a couple of questions. First, what is one thing that, if it worked, would make my entire to-do list obsolete? That's our old friend that we call the to-do list monster. Second, what could I commit to that would force me to engage with luck gatekeepers? Put yourself on the hook for something. Help them help you. And third, when's the last time I told my network exactly how they could help? Let network luck happen. Because your network wants to help. We're not trying to get lucky once. We're trying to build a system that makes it inevitable. Stick with this, and I guarantee you're going to get lucky. in an entrepreneurial way, ChatGPT. You sicko. This was the Idea to Start a Podcast brought to you by Tacklebox. We've got a few slots opening up for our small group program. Code HOLIDAY will get you in for 50% off in your first month. If you're working on a startup idea and have a full-time job, maybe give it a shot. Have a great week.